The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side. Hey, issue 54 is kind of jam-packed. Before we get into The Crow from 1994, yeah, I can't believe it's been 25 years, we actually have some recommended reading books that we forgot to mention, or I forgot to mention, and John brought up another one, so we'll talk about those. There's also kind of a running theme, the quote, "They can't all be gems," unquote, starts with my open. I think you'll laugh at me. And then once we start talking about The Crow, somehow we worked E.T. into this, an E.T. reference in The Crow. So without further ado, let's get into the store. Hey, Johnny Bravo, how's the soup fitting?
How's the soup fitting?
Soup.
Suit.
You don't get that reference?
Like a glove, man.
It's all about the suit. You don't get that reference?
No.
Johnny Bravo from Brady Bunch?
Oh, I'm thinking Johnny Bravo, like, from the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, exactly.
The dude with the black t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Nope.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't get that one right over my head, man.
Yep.
Sorry.
The suit. Yep. It's all about the suit. You fit the suit. All right.
Yep, sorry. Killed that bit.
That fell flat. Hey, they can't
sometimes
all be...
Sometimes they win. Yep,
can't all be gems.
Yep.
All right. How's your week been going?
As we demonstrate week after week after week.
Yeah. Listeners are like, yeah, they can't all be gold, but can we get one?
Right. I would say, can any of them be?
So how's your week going?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Nice. Yeah, are you still excited to be in the Nerdy Legion?
I am.
This is awesome.
Very much. Yeah.
Good time.
Very much.
You've been listening to any of the podcasts?
No.
No.
I haven't.
I listen all the time. Listen all the time.
I know. I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, you don't have it. Like,
I don't have a commute anymore. So, like, my podcasting time is way down.
Right.
I used to listen to, you know, 2-3 hours a day worth of podcasts, but.
Oh. I run anymore. Out. That's, I mean.
Well, I, yeah.
I mean, it's, I run out of podcasts to listen to because I work alone. So all I do
all
is
day.
Listen to, and I used to, when I first started doing what I do is I used to listen to the radio, and that, it actually gets so monotonous because you can start to tell the time by,
you know, the
what
playlist
song comes
set,
on.
Yeah.
And, oh, it must be 10:30 because, you know,
right.
Stone Temple Pilots is on again. Like, okay.
Right.
But yeah, it's, it, you know. Funny, I mentioned that. I didn't even mean to do that. Stone Temple Pilots with, when we're talking The Crow.
Oh, The Crow,
that's pretty
funny. Yeah, look at that.
That was
fortuitous.
Yeah, look at that. Must be in my head from watching the movie.
Yeah.
Hey, you said last week that Batman number 83, the Francisco Matina. Yeah,
yeah,
you weren't lying. That's pretty cool.
And
we talked about it later that time, too. It's like we think it's Thomas Wayne.
With
the red.
I'm pretty sure it's Thomas.
Yeah.
Looking at the costume.
And what was the other one you were talking about?
The Captain America 16. Again, the artist I'm going to butcher, but Young Yoon, I think is what it is. But it's a pretty cool cover as well.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really cool. Let me see the name. What's the name? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a tough one.
Yeah.
Young Yoon.
I think it's Young Yoon. But
young,
could be wrong.
Young, yeah. We'll just stop.
Yeah. It's not that I could be wrong. I'm definitely wrong.
Right.
I just don't know what the right answer is.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But it is a really nice cover.
Yeah.
Fingers are kind of pointy.
All right. I mean... He is no John Romita Jr., but he's still going.
Speaking
places.
Of that, we didn't even talk about that last week. Did you see that one? I don't think we talked about it. You hadn't read it yet.
The Batman. Well, I hadn't read it.
Batman,
at the time.
What was that, 81?
Yeah, but I tweeted about it after the fact.
Yeah. And those arms on Robin?
Oh my god. It was horrible.
Was I right? They're like, actually, yeah, you did like tweet. You're like, it's worse than I said. I go, really? I don't think I could have been worse. I was like, I didn't say anything redeeming about it.
Well, and I was doing my order for December today at the store, and upcoming issues of, I can't remember if it's Action Comics or Superman, but one of those two are being taken over by John Romita Jr. as well. So apparently fresh off of his Superman Year One success, he's parlaying that into the main Superman title.
Yeah, you and Dr. Joe really went at that one on Twitter the
other
day.
That's pretty rough. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't even get through that book. I mean, I just
thought
it
was
nonsense.
The book anyways.
I didn't. Right. I didn't like it anyways, but I had read the first two, and I was, I was committed to read the third one. But I got about 10 pages in, 12 pages in somewhere, and it was just utter nonsense. And I was like, I can't do it. I have to shut the book.
I'll be honest. It wasn't my favorite towards the end. I was like, and I don't know if, like, and I didn't think it was as bad as what you guys were saying.
I know you don't.
But I don't think it's that great, and I do think it suffers from being a black label. I think if it wasn't a black label book, it wouldn't be so bad.
I mean, I don't know, because it would... Terrible, still terrible. Like, it would have been terrible if it was just in the Superman run also. Like, I don't know. I mean, a black label might have a higher expectation attached to it, but black label doesn't make it a worse book. It's still what it is, I think. I don't know. But yeah, we've definitely gotten better quality black label books, you know, with the Batman and the Harley.
I'm hard pressed to think of some bad ones. I mean, even Batman Damned, I thought was
decent.
Batman
Damned, which ended up getting kind of weird towards the end.
Yeah,
but the art carried that.
The art was really good, and
that art was so strong.
And I think that suffered from the extensions.
Scheduling.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah, the scheduling hurt that book a lot too. And again, the tinkering, because I really believe that book. That they DC went back and stuck their hands all over that book and changed some of it around. So that was problematic, you know, from the get go. Still better than Superman Year One. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they can't all be gems, right?
They cannot.
Look at that. See?
They cannot.
Maybe that's the opening to today's show was our homage to John Romita Jr.
Right. But I say, to go back, just to hit it one more time.
Oh, jeez.
That Batman 81, that was some pretty glorious art in that book.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad, it was good at some point. So it's like, I don't even know what's going on here. But,
well, that's what I said. I go, it's like the kid, like he had his kid draw it.
Right.
Like, those arms, I can't get those things out of my head.
That page that Dr. Joe clued me in on from Superman Year 3 was pretty magical also.
I didn't even open the book. I didn't even look. I saw it and I was like, eh.
It was
I'm
magical.
Getting a little uncomfortable. We're piling on.
I know. I know you were. I know. We're getting a little bit too negative for the bright side.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm a retailer. I got to sell these books. I shouldn't really be on here just bashing everything that he does, because I need to sell all these Batman and Superman books. But, you know, I tell you, the one thing I do, I mean, I am a retailer first and foremost, but I give my honest opinion of every single book, because I don't ever want somebody to come back and say I gave them bad advice. Now, everybody's free to disagree with my opinion, but I never sugarcoat a book. If I don't like it, I tell people I don't like it.
Yes, you do.
Because at least when I tell somebody I like something, they can take my, you know,
right.
They can believe it.
And they don't have to agree with that either, but.
Exactly, right. They don't have to agree either way, but I never sugarcoat my opinions. I always tell it like I see it. So I shouldn't be bashing these books, but here I am.
You read anything else lately?
Well, I finished reading Superman Smashes the Klan, which came out last week.
Yeah.
I really wasn't sure going into that how much I was going to like it. I was a little predisposed based on the title to not think it was going to be something that I was going to enjoy. And then coupling that with the art style that seems like it's not even so much the art style, but the style of the book itself.
Yeah.
Makes it seem like it's a kid's book.
A kid's book, yeah. It looks like it's
and
from Wonder
it's really,
Comics.
Right, and it's really not. I mean, I'm not saying it's very adult, but it's definitely not a kid's book. But it's actually based on an old radio serial called Superman Smashes the Klan that came out.
Oh, okay.
You know, like in the 40s as a radio show. And I guess the artist is old enough to have heard that back when he was a kid. So has kind of always carried that along with him. But, you know, obviously this has a lot to do with, you know, racism in America and some things that we could not be very proud of. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good story. I liked the characters, and I really did like the book. You know, not to go into too many spoilers, but something that really stuck out to me that I liked a lot, even though I shouldn't like it because it's pretty, you know, damning for our society. But, you know, it has to do with a Chinese family that's moved into Metropolis, and they're being targeted by the Klan because they don't, you know, because they're not white. And it's, you know, obviously this has to do with racism and the Klan. But what struck me is that the Asian family, after being attacked by the Klan, a car full of African American men jump out and try to help them because they're being attacked by the, you know, basically they have a cross burning in their front yard and the Klan is there. And so this car full of African American people come out to try to help them. And the Chinese family doesn't want help from the African Americans because they're racist against black people. And it just really was like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, you're being targeted for racism. These guys are coming out to try to help you and you're being racist against them. And then it turns out that one of the gentlemen was Inspector Henderson, which is the police chief, you know. And as soon as he shows his badge, then obviously they change their tune and they're willing to help him.
Yeah.
But it just struck me that, like, that's what we are as a people, right?
Yeah,
As humans, it's like you can be the victim of racism and still be racist yourself. And, like I said, I don't know what, it's not so much that I liked it because I think it's funny or great, but I liked that in the story because I think it just goes to show people are trash no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting that was going on. And I'm sure that's factual. Like, I'm sure that was going on, you know, in the America in the 30s.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, otherwise though, I mean, this story very much takes place in the past. You know, a lot of the man, like the way they speak and the way they are dressed and the things, their activities, you know, make it seem like it was happening, you know, back in the 40s.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I liked it. It's a 3-issue series, so obviously there's, it's, you know, the story's not finished. It's going to keep going on, but yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty interesting book for something that I really would have passed up, and I wouldn't have given an opportunity to read it, but I actually liked it quite a bit.
I have one that I failed to mention last week. It was actually going to be part of our book club. I completely forgot about it.
Okay.
Did you see, did you read Horde by Aftershock?
Mm-hmm. No.
So
I did not.
Okay. So I would like to put this in as actually recommended reading. It was really good. Marguerite Bennett.
Yep.
Co-creator and writer, and Leela Lees, co-creator and artist, and by Aftershock, put out by Aftershock. So, yeah, it's called Horde, and it's about this, well, it starts out a little girl, grows up, it's a flashback. She grows up, and she goes to see her mother, who she has been estranged from for many years, and her mom is the one that's the, quote, Horde. And it's kind of a horror story. And it, when I read it, there's actually what really grabbed me is I thought the art was really good. If you see this in the store, it's a hard cover. It's like a flat, flat cover. It's not glossy. It's a nice flat cover. Very well done. The cover looks awesome. It's about 80 pages, 70, 80 pages. It's a, you know, and it's just came out. I thought it was like put together because it was so long. I thought it was put together from a bunch of, but it wasn't. I asked Slade last week.
It's an original graphic novel.
Yeah. And it's not the thing. It's 1999, but I thought it was really good. And especially with, you know, this being the week of Halloween and all.
Right.
It's a good horror story. It's not super scary, but there was a part of the book about three quarters of the way through where I was literally grabbed by the book like, oh no, this is horrible. What's going to happen here and how it was going to play out. And it really plays on your emotions. The mom's like a whore. She's hanging on to the wrong things, but there's some mystical stuff going on as well. It's just, and like I said, the artwork I thought carried really well through the book. Very high contrast, monochromatic, a lot of blues and blacks. But it was really, really good. Really grabbed me. And I just started reading it and I just couldn't stop. One of those things, because you just wanted to see what happened next and what happened next. So it is kind of pricey. But I would say definitely if you see it in the store, pick it up, take a look.
Well, for 80 pages, though, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a graphic novel, so
yeah,
that's a fair price for a graphic novel.
But yeah, that was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't see that. I don't think I even ordered one of the.
Yeah, I'm actually disappointed I didn't include it last week. I don't know why. Well, I do know why I forgot about it. I was pretty tired that night. So
right.
We have one more thing we forgot last week.
What is that?
We forgot to do our giveaway.
We did forget to do our giveaway.
Yeah. Well, here it is a week later. We did Revenge of the Jedi last week, and we had said on Twitter that we were going to do a giveaway, and we're going to give away that poster, the Revenge of the Jedi poster.
Right.
So what do you say? We need more reviews. Unfortunately for people that have already reviewed, I don't know. Can you review a second time?
I don't know.
But we need more reviews. All right. So how do you want to do this? Because we need new reviews.
Yeah. So I would say the first five people to give us a 5-star rating with a review. We don't want just the stars. We want a review as well. If you screenshot it and send it to us through DM or through Twitter.
Yeah, definitely tweet it out. And then
we'll send you a poster.
Yep. And then the first five people, I'll tell DM me. I'll say DM me your address and we will send you the poster. And we'll tweet out a picture of the poster if you haven't seen it already. It's a cool poster. Didn't you just buy one for yourself?
I did. Yes. Well, actually, I'm looking at several now. I'm still shopping.
Nice. Way to be paid.
Now I'm looking at the full 9 poster set for $65 on Amazon, and that's a pretty good deal.
There you go.
So,
all right. Did we forget anything else from last week?
I don't think so. It took us a while to get through that, but
yeah, exactly.
We're all right.
All right. So are you ready to get into this week's business? You ready?
I think so.
You ready? Yeah, exactly. You ready to talk a little bit about The Crow?
I am.
All right.
Talk about The Crow.
Let's go back to 1994.
All right. Let's go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear, 1994.
People once believed that when someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes, just sometimes, the crow can bring that soul back to put the wrong things right.
You're all going to die. Victims, aren't we all?
All right, so do you want to go spoiler-free?
I don't think we need to do that.
No, I know.
You know how I feel about spoiler-free anyways.
I know. It's just an old joke.
I know.
So when was the last time you saw this movie?
Monday.
Well, before that, I meant.
I don't even know. I mean, this came out in 1994, so maybe like it hit HBO in 1995.
And oh, really?
I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
I
might have stumbled across it over the year, you know, a couple of times. But, I mean, I honestly haven't watched it in 15 years at least. So, it's been a long time.
Yeah, when I told you I wanted to do it for Halloween, I was like, I love this movie. And I've owned it a few times, but I don't own it on Blu-ray. And I didn't, I didn't even realize that when I asked you. I'm like, hey, let's do it. And so I had to like go online and buy it. And it's like, I think I got it on Amazon for like $5 or something. It's not that expensive. But
no, I actually thought I had the DVD. I went looking to watch it and I didn't have it. So
yeah, I have the DVD, but its DVD quality isn't as good nowadays compared when you try and throw it on a big screen.
But I mean, it's good enough for our purposes to talk about on this show.
Yeah, no, I watched it on Blu-ray.
Heck, I've been watching the original Star Wars trilogy off of DVD. So
yeah, I haven't seen this in probably a few years.
Yeah,
and there a lot of things jumped out at me that I don't know if I didn't remember them or maybe the stuff wasn't as clear back then. Like
you couldn't see it?
No. Like dialogue and stuff. There's a few lines in there that you obviously they're iconic lines from the movie. That just not really iconic lines, but the way people say stuff, and then as they started to say it, you'd remember it. But I thought like Brandon Lee and watching it now, it's like I think the last time I watched it was on like a smaller TV. I don't think I've ever watched this on my big screen, like the big screen I have now. And it's like, it's just one, and it's a movie poster I have in my theater. It's one of the four original movies I put in my theater for the posters. I have 2002 Spider-Man. I have Star Wars, the New Hope, the original poster. I have The Crow, and I have Moulin Rouge. That one was for Jen.
I was going to say, that's one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. But actually, I did like Moulin Rouge. I know this is a Crow episode, but I liked Moulin Rouge. That's a good movie. It's really good. Really fun to listen to.
Yeah.
The music and stuff. But so the Crow poster. Do you remember that poster with him walking towards you? Like he's in the middle and the line coming down. Did you ever notice the Do Believe in Angels in the poster? No.
I'd be lying if I told you I did, so.
All right, so I just sent you the poster. I just sent you a screen grab of it. And you notice on the poster, it's got his name across the top, Brandon Lee. And then underneath it, it just has, you have that white line down the middle, and it's him walking in, almost like at the end of the movie when he's walking into the church.
Yeah, it looks like he's standing in an exclamation point.
Yeah, really? Kind of does.
But
then above his head, it says, believe in angels.
Right.
But the D-O in Brandon is in that line, so it says, do believe in angels.
Right.
Which I think is, it's such a, that's one of the reasons I like that poster. It's like, it's so creatively done and using the words that way. And,
well, and isn't
the message
sequel,
of the movie.
City of Angels?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But that gets me back to this, a bunch of things. Like, did you know that there was a chance that they were going to make this movie with Michael Jackson?
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing that.
That was, there was that. There were other people that were rumored to be cast for it as well.
Right.
And the director, Alex Proyas, I think, he wasn't even sure if he wanted Brandon Lee. Because he wasn't sure on how, like, Brandon Lee wasn't a well-established actor at the time.
No.
And actually never became a well-established actor after that.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. So we'll get into more of that in a minute. But I just thought that was interesting, especially when you look at the poster and you're like, how would that have worked if you had Michael Jackson across the top or something that you wouldn't have been able to do that little play on words there?
No, well, I think it was a happy accident based on the name, but
yeah. Well, I don't think it was an accident that they did that.
Actually, well, but I mean, it wouldn't have worked with any other actor.
Right.
So
that was one little fun nugget there with the poster. Let's get into the elephant in the room.
Right.
Unfortunately, Brandon Lee didn't even finish this movie. Well known at the time, accident on the set, gun that wasn't supposed to be loaded, or it actually wasn't loaded. It just had a projectile in it or something, I think.
Yeah,
from a previous scene.
Details, but
yeah, it was really bad. And The actor that played Fun Boy, Michael Massey, who he died, he actually died in 2016, if I remember right.
Yeah.
He's never seen the movie. He's the one that fired the shot.
Right.
And he said that he, you know, he couldn't even watch the movie after they completed it. He was a mess about that ever, you know, right up until his death, pretty much.
Well, yeah, as, you know, understandably
and,
so.
Yeah. The footage, they had it, and they, obviously, cameras were rolling because he was supposed to, Fun Boy, character Fun Boy, was supposed to shoot him in the chest as he came into the room. I guess they were filming the initial, you know, the opening scene where they show the flashbacks of them, you know, the gang coming in and and raping Shelly and killing him, and he was supposed to shoot him. And it was a scene where Eric comes into the room to stop them, and he just, Fun Boy turns and shoots him, and he literally just killed him for real. And they used the footage in court. And then I guess there was some, you know, agreement in the court that they would burn the footage after the fact, so there is no footage of it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it, I remember when it happened, and it reminded, it's, well, it was 10 years after, do you remember the show Cover Up?
It sounds familiar.
From the 80s?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember the show.
So, I don't remember who the actors were, but it was like a female, they were supposed to be, they were pretending to be like a male model and an ad agency or a photography agency or whatever, and they would go on location and they would pretend to be a male model and photographer and stuff, but they were actually like kind of like spies or something.
Secret agents.
Yeah. Working something for the government. Well, one day on the set, things weren't, you know, the guy playing the male model, he took one of the prop guns that had blanks in it and he was playing Russian roulette with blanks, and he thought that nothing could happen, and he shot himself in the head with a blank, but because it was right next to the temple, it killed him. Right. And when this happened on The Crow, I was like, wow, that's, I mean, it, I guess it, I mean, they were 10 years apart, but it felt like then to me, I was like, wow, another one, you know, and, but it's, and for Brandon Lee, I just, I don't know, what do you think, do you think that this made the movie more popular? Like, because it almost stopped the movie from being made.
Right.
Because I remember hearing, I can't remember who owned it beforehand, but they didn't want it anymore. And I think it was Miramax picked it up and finished it and put it out.
Right. Well, it, I mean, it definitely had, you know, some cult appeal after, you know, after that, that maybe drove some extra people to see it. But, I mean, honestly, and not to take away from the movie, because I like the movie too, but I mean, I don't remember it being a huge, huge box office success back when it came out. You know, I mean, I don't remember, like, this wasn't one like you heard, like everybody was talking about. Or, so, I mean, I don't know that it got more popular because of what happened.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it probably drove some people to go see it that might not have gone to see it. But I bet you it had the opposite effect too. And it might have kept some people away from it. Because of what happened.
Maybe.
You know, obviously it didn't stop either one of us from seeing it. You know, we've seen it several times.
I feel like it was a really popular movie because, I mean, it came out in the summer. And then, I mean, everybody, and myself included, they like every party you went to for Halloween, people were dressed as the Crow.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really popular movie at the time.
And maybe it was. Like I said, I don't remember. You know, my memory going back to 1994... Yeah. I don't recall, but I don't remember it being one of those giant blockbuster movies that
I don't think it was a blockbuster, but I think it was, you know.
Well, right. A good movie. And it will always have a, like I said, and it's always going to have a cult following anyway. Now, and again, this is a character that was known already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it had a following because it came from the comics and, you know, had an audience. So, I mean, I think that helps, you know, obviously, you know, it's not like today's standards as far as comic book movies and what we get now. But, you know, back in 1994, we weren't getting comic book movies all the time. You know, like we do now. So
I'll be honest, you know, I didn't know when I saw it in the theater that it was a comic book. And then when I, and again, I really liked the movie, so I started looking into it, and I bought some of the comics and or tried to read up on it. It's a little different. The comic's a little different, or the story that they tell in the movie.
Right.
But you see there, it's almost, they just kind of flip-flop some stuff around, if I remember right. Like, he actually lived longer in the comic. And then
Shelley.
Then yeah. Shelley, and then, but she died, like, you know, in the movie, like, he's dead, obviously.
Right.
He's dead.
Right, well, but she lived for a while in the hospital.
Yeah. And in the comics, it was the other way around, and he was so distraught, that's what got him to come back.
Right.
And he want, you know, whereas that's just one of the things that was like, they just flip-flop back and forth. Which was like, when you watch the movie, it was kind of weird, because he just died, so he didn't know what happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the movie. So they kind of played that. I liked the way they played that, where he had to figure it out after the fact, because obviously he was dead, he didn't see, and he had those powers, where he could
right.
read people's minds, and, you know, he could absorb their thoughts. So what did you think of that opening scene, watching it today? And there's a reason I ask you. The scene where they get killed.
Right.
Did you feel like that
I mean,
was
it didn't
way
stand...
more graphic than it would be today?
Oh, I don't... Well, I don't know. More graphic than anything you would see in a... You know, like a Marvel movie, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Or even like a... Well, but I mean, no more graphic than anything we saw in The Joker, or... I don't know. Honestly, it didn't stand out to me. I mean, I don't think it was any more graphic then than it would be today, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought the gang rape, I don't think you'd see that today. I remember.
No, I think maybe you would.
Really?
Yeah. In an R-rated movie, sure. It just depends on how dark they wanted to go with it. You
right.
know, if they were remaking it now.
I've forgotten how graphic it was.
Well, I had forgotten really the whole movie, to be honest with you, because I hadn't seen it in so long.
Okay, you know, we'll get into that.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, so everything was kind of new to me
right.
in a sense, because, you know, I really enjoyed sitting down and watching it, because, like I said, it was almost like seeing it, you know, for the first time, because I hadn't seen it in, you know,
yeah.
years and years. And this wasn't one of my go-tos, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. I did, but it's just not something I watched multiple times, or, you know, really got into,
yeah,
you know, overly got into when it came out. So it, like I said, it didn't stand out to me specifically.
Yeah, I don't know why it stood out to me. It made
yeah.
me, I was like, I don't want to say I cringed, but I was like, wow,
uncomfortable, huh?
Yeah, it really made me uncomfortable. And it was like, when all the guys were lining up and they were like, my turn, no, I'm first. And you're
but
like,
none of it was super graphic. Like, you didn't really see
anything.
No, it
was suggestive.
It was
though.
Suggestive.
Yeah, it was very suggestive, but I felt like that was graphic enough. I was just
yeah. But we're like, I feel like
I can't
if we were watching this.
Yeah.
If we were watching this today on like HBO or something, we would have had a lot more graphic than that, I feel like, you know?
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen HBO. I mean, it's pretty graphic.
No.
So.
No, like you look back at The Boys and the comic book is more graphic, like that crow scene, but
right.
they didn't do it in the show. And granted,
right, but I also
that's a
hear,
show.
I hear something upcoming for season 2 is very graphic. So.
Yeah, I know the scene that they're doing too.
Yeah.
I've read it in the book. And
right.
Yeah, it is more graphic. It's yeah.
Now I don't know how
they're
going to
shoot that
show,
though.
But
yeah.
I heard that they're shooting it. So
yeah.
What was your specific reason for asking me that though? Just to see if I thought it was overly graphic or
yeah, I wanted to see if you felt like just if it was different than today's standards.
Maybe I feel like it was tame compared to today's standards. Like I feel like we see a lot more graphic content, you know, between.
That's weird.
You know,
I felt the other way.
Between our streaming services yeah. and, you know, even things we've seen on game, like we've seen, you know, rape on Game of Thrones and I feel like we see more today.
Yeah, but not like to that.
It feels like as we evolve in our storytelling from year to year, we get more graphic and more, we try to get like our baser instincts.
Yeah, yeah.
More graphic, and not the other way around. But again, it would depend on, you know, cause there's been rumors of a Crow remake off and on for years.
For years,
and,
yes.
And, you know, whether they actually do it or not. And
Jason Momoa was supposed to be one of them.
I heard that for a long time. So it would depend on the director and what kind of tone they wanted to set with it.
Yeah.
You know, if they would even recreate it, you know, it might not even be the same story if they redid it now.
I really like this story, though. And, I mean, they could redo it. They could redo it and do it more faithful to the comic, which this is pretty faithful, but they could go literal to the comic, and I think that would be really good. Yeah, I was really disappointed when I heard, like, Jason Momoa wasn't going to be doing it, because I thought he would have been great. I thought he had the look. I thought his size would have been so much
fun.
What's
different,
though?
Well, that's the thing, because he's not that imposing in this movie. Like, Brandon Lee is
the
not.
The Crow, right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the
Eric
character
Draven's
in the comics really isn't known for being, like, Jason Momoa size.
Right.
You know. But.
But that's what I thought would have been fun to do.
Right.
It would have, you know, in have it in this role. I thought a lot of the characters, like, I thought they were, my memory of them was they were bigger. Now, I know Brandon Lee wasn't very big, but a lot of the other characters, they're all very, very, like, I mean, they played that druggy lifestyle very well. They all looked like heroin addicts and all, like, very thin. And how about the other two there, the brother and sister, you know, goth twins or whatever you want to call them?
Yeah.
What do they got going on? They, and there was another rumor. Did you hear that one? That there was a lot of coke going on in the, making of this?
Well, I heard that the whole production was troubled. There was so many rumors coming out of it. You know, obviously, you know, the death of Brandon Lee first and foremost. But, you know, I remember hearing that it was a troubled shoot. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was drugs and other things going on.
Yeah.
You know, during the production as well.
It's funny. I saw it on IMDb, but I do remember hearing it back then is the joke that Brandon Lee said when he heard somebody sneeze. And he goes, oh, somebody just lost $50 because he's blowing the car up.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, but I remember hearing that and laughing about it. But, yeah, it was, like you said, there was a lot. I don't know if it had more trouble than other movies. But when somebody dies,
it
brings everything else out.
Yeah, I think so. Right, because, you know, if you think that there's not drugs going on any movie they're making today,
right,
you know, you get your head buried in the sand because it still happens, obviously. But, you know, if everything else goes according to plan, you just don't hear about it.
Right.
You know, obviously this, you know, had a tragedy attached to it. So there was a big light shining on everything that was happening.
Yeah.
To the point where, like you said, I can't blame that studio for wanting to kind of divorce itself from that whole production, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody needs that kind of attention. I'm really surprised that anybody came back and picked it up and really finished it.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of shows either Miramax must have, you know, had a lot of faith in what they had, what was already done, that they felt like they had something that was going to be viable. Because again, I don't remember now how far, you know, obviously Brandon Lee shot a lot of scenes.
Yes.
I don't remember how much of it still needed to be completed or.
So what's interesting is that's the other part that I really got me into this movie is how they finished it. And they did a lot of, and it's funny, you watch it now and you can see, I remember seeing the scenes at the time. I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, this must be one here. And it's, you know, in the scene where he's putting his makeup on in the mirror and the mirror is smashed. That's all. His images in the mirror are all computer generated.
Right.
The technology that they did, that was all new. For this movie in particular, this what they did with this face and superimposing it in places that they needed to,
right,
that was groundbreaking.
Right, because again, 1994.
Yeah.
If it was today, you could just go on business as usual. You don't even need an actor, you know?
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference in most cases.
Right.
But back in 1994, it's a big deal.
It was a big deal. And you watch it now and you're like, oh, that's kind of shoddy. But in 94, that was really, really exciting that they could do that. The other thing you could tell is all like, there's a bunch of scenes where they like never show his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, for instance, when he runs into, what's the little girl's name? Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah. Sarah was a little girl.
Sure.
So, yeah, Shelly, Sarah, they all begin with S.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, she comes up. Remember, she picked up the cat. She's in their apartment.
Right.
And she's like, Eric, I know you're here. And then Eric appears in the window, but you can't see his face. That's a body double. You know, that's a double.
But even still, it was done to, because even watching it on Monday, I wasn't looking for it. You know what I mean? So I didn't notice it. It never stood out to me. It never stood out to me one time that Brandon Lee wasn't doing this entire movie.
Right.
Even though in the back of my mind, I knew that, you know, obviously he had passed away and didn't finish it. But you really have to look for it, I think, because
the one that always stood
out
for me was the one in the mirror, because I just knew, like, it was so jittery. And I felt like, I'm like, that's got to be one there that they did. I mean, you could see, I mean, it was very artistically done the way they break the mirror. There's a purpose for all of that. But I thought, you know, and again, it's to be able to finish that movie like that. And I do remember they, like, they asked for the family's permission, you know.
Right.
I do remember hearing talks about that going back and forth. And then you have the whole story with his father. His father died under the kind of same circumstance, like weird situation, making, I forget what movie it was, you know, when Bruce Lee got killed, but.
Wasn't Enter the Dragon?
I don't think it was Enter the Dragon. He finished that one.
Well, I don't remember now. But yeah, obviously, very weird, you know, coincidence. Yeah.
And then, of course, do you remember hearing all the stories about the, I don't know, organized crime that's going on with between, you know, what, in Hong Kong and over here, and people that his father was.
Well, there's tons of conspiracy theories.
Tons and tons of conspiracies and rumors that you were just like, wow. It really sad. Really sad story. And it's like, this was supposed to be his
breakout
movie.
Well, I mean, Elvis is a secret agent still, so who knows what Bruce Lee was doing, you know? So
Bruce Lee was closer to actually being a secret agent.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So no telling what he was doing. But yeah, we didn't. It's funny. We didn't even touch on that till just now, but obviously a huge connection.
Yeah.
Two of them. And
Yeah, unreal. So let's get back to the movie.
Okay.
So what I like, I really, really like that scene. The first guy that he kills and gets his gets his coat.
Yeah.
The knives. What's it? What was that? Was that,
I don't know anybody's name, so I really don't know. I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember anybody's names. Blades or something. It didn't have something to do with knives, right?
I think his name was Tintin. Was it Tintin?
Was that him? I remember Tintin being a name, but.
Yeah, it was Tintin.
Okay.
And the way that, I mean, you have that whole scene. We don't have to play it out, but I loved at the end when he catches the knife and he throws it back at him, but the speed. So, like, the knife goes in him and then he's right in front of him. So, like, he basically followed the speed of the knife all the way there, which I thought was really cool. And, that's the first time in the movie you start to see his superpowers.
He has, like, supernatural,
Yeah, other than healing. And coming back from the dead.
Well, yeah. That's
kind of
a
big one.
Yeah.
Not easy to open a coffin with 6 feet of dirt on top of it, but.
Right. You know what got me, too, speaking of crawling out of the coffin or anything like that, but, you know, there's a couple of scenes where they show him going back to the graveyard after the fact.
Yeah.
And, like, his grave is wide open. Like, he crawled out of it.
The whole time. Yeah.
And left it wide open the whole time, but nobody else noticed that? Like, nobody called the cops. There was nobody asking questions.
No, what's his name? The head lackey for the, and you know who he is too. He's been in other movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I know who you're talking. I don't know his name either, but
his name in Tony Todd in real life. I don't know.
Always plays the same. He plays the same dude in every movie.
Yeah. He's always he's always the strong, silent type that's just like a little sarcastic, but
yeah.
But yeah, he investigated it, saw that it was unearthed.
I just figured, like, nobody called that in, you know? It's like, hey, you might want to come investigate this open grave. Because if you saw it, you wouldn't think somebody climbed out of it. You would assume that somebody vandalized
it. Grave robbers, yeah.
You would think the cops would have been all over that.
So after Tintin, I think my next favorite was that the guy that owns the pawn shop.
Yeah.
That guy, what's his name?
Because he's in a lot of stuff, too.
And he's the same guy in every
way. Right, he's always the same dude.
Yeah, John Polito.
Okay. Yeah.
John Polito. And but he's always that same guy. He was on Seinfeld and he was like that guy. And it's just so funny. That sniveling little,
Definitely. They have a type.
Yeah.
You know, they're typecast.
Yeah, exactly. But
I need a strong, silent type. I need Tony Todd. If I need the sniveling pawn shop owner.
So I don't want to go through every kill, although throwing a hand grenade or whatever that was into a guy's crotch and sending his car off of a pier was pretty creative.
Yeah.
But anyways.
He's fused to the car.
Yeah. So one of the things I really liked about this in 1994, I thought this was a very interesting love story. I don't think I'd seen a love story told this way in the movies.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Can you think of anything?
Explain more what you're talking about.
Well, you come back from the dead. I mean,
was unique.
It's a love story told, but the two people that are in love are you don't even see them together.
Right.
You start the movie with them being torn apart.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's like, I mean, it's, you know, I thought it was a very creative love story, which, you know, that, and that goes to the comic. That's the writing of the comic. But when was the last time? I can't think of a movie like that. And that's what I thought was really creative at the time, seeing this in the theater and what struck a chord with me.
Yeah, I can't think of any similar, really. I mean, Frankenstein's the only thing that comes to mind, you know what I mean? And that's not even the same. But I mean, I can't think of anything really where basically you've got an undead protagonist in love, you know? And like you said,
revenge.
We never really see them together. You know, you see them kind of at the very end of the movie. She comes to kind of take him home.
Yeah,
you know?
She brings him home, yeah.
But yeah, you never see him together. You don't get a sense for that you even like this couple. Because, you know, a lot of times a movie would build up the couple first.
Right.
You know, and get you to like kind of like them and buy into their story. Where in this, you never got that. I mean, it just starts out with them basically being brutally killed. You know, you don't even know if you like these guys together, really.
Right.
Because
you have no idea what kind of couple they are. It's all, you know, I mean, what did she have for scenes? Like maybe a minute if you added it all up?
Oh, if you put it all together,
Yeah. And it's
2 minutes tops.
So, we get about a minute of Shelley. And then that includes that slow motion walk towards him at the end.
Right.
That was, you know.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I don't even know who she was, who the actress was that played her, because she didn't really have a very big role at all.
No. Sophia Shinnis is her name?
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. I don't think I've seen her in anything else either. But yeah, like I said, she probably just worked for scale because she didn't have a lot of on-screen time.
Yeah, no. But that's what I mean. And for this story to be
but
told,
even with
for
all
you to
of that,
grab on to that couple.
I would say, because even with all of that, you felt invested.
Right, that's what I mean, yeah.
Like when he comes back, I mean, you felt his pain and you felt invested in them, even though they didn't really do the legwork to really put you there. You know, I guess they did enough somehow to still make you care about it.
Yeah, well, I think how brutally they were murdered, it, you know, makes you want to get vengeance anyways. And then as the story gets told and you know, you start to feel for the characters through his, you know, investigation, if you want to call
it that. And I think also, again, what was her name? Sarah, the little girl.
The little girl,
I mean, you
Sarah,
get the, you get the connection through her.
Right.
Right. Because she was tied to both of them and, you know, was feeling the loss of both of them being gone because at the beginning, you know, obviously she didn't know he was coming back. So, you know, she was kind of lost because you don't really know why she was hanging out with them.
Well, she was a street kid, and that's
right.
That's
I guess why
saying,
they as a couple were really hanging out with this 8-year-old kid seems a little, you know, like that's something.
Well,
you couldn't
she said
do today.
Shelley took care of her. She Shelley took care of her. She was alone on the street because her mom was a heroin addict.
Right.
You know, so that gave you that sense that, you know, they're good people. They're looking out for little Sarah. I mean, I remember thinking like, what a horrible town to live in. I mean,
yeah,
people,
well,
every year they burn the city down.
Right. You don't get the sense, like, it's not really, like, you don't know what the location is. I don't know if they ever really come out and say where the movie takes place.
Yeah.
And you don't get the sense that it's, you know, a real city that we would know of. Yeah, maybe Gotham. Well, the Gotham we saw in Titans was almost as bad as that.
Yeah, it really was.
maybe that's where it's taking place. But yeah, you don't really know where you're supposed to be. But yeah, like you said, it's pretty unruly, to say the least.
And it rains a lot.
Yeah, well, it rained the whole time.
Can't rain all the time.
Well, it rained that whole movie anyway.
That was the line.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's, you're right. How she knew.
That's how she knew his line again, from his
one,
song.
I've seen it one time in 20 years, man. So
can't rain all the time.
Yeah, don't remember it all. But I feel like you set me up for that line and I just dropped the ball.
Yeah, and you just dropped it. Yeah. It's kind of like our open.
Yeah. Again, we're still looking for that one gold nugget. We haven't found it yet.
You also get the connection with them through Officer Albright.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ernie, fresh off of Ghostbusters. No,
at the time he was right.
Well, this no, was, Ghostbusters. No,
Ghostbusters
was like 8 years
80,
earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
86
or something.
Something. Yeah,
but he hadn't done much since, so he was still kind of fresh off Ghostbusters.
I yeah,
don't know
I know.
If he did
what
a lot
did,
in between.
What else did he?
I'm sure he did a few things, but
Ghostbusters is what he's most
well
known. Well,
he did
for.
Ghostbusters 2. So
I really like that scene with him when Eric shows up at his apartment. He's like, you're still wearing your hat.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. He's walking around in his boxers and a t-shirt, and he's still got his police hat on.
I still feel like, I mean, there was some pretty compelling evidence there, but I still feel like I would have needed a lot more to swallow the fact that this guy came back from the dead. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's you like, would. That's,
well, I definitely would.
But that's you.
Well, I feel like it's most people because it's just not something that happens, you know?
Yeah, because it doesn't really happen. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
But I feel like, you know, again, he went with it pretty nonchalant.
Yeah, but if
like,
you
pretty
saw
nonchalant.
Him dead, what would you,
I,
what
I,
was
I don't
the
know.
Alternative? He had a twin?
I mean, I would think that I needed to be on medication or something because something was wrong with me. But I don't know. I mean, I know it's a movie and all, and, you know, conveniently we have to move the story along. But,
God.
But you know, I don't know. Like I said, I just kind of feel like I would have needed a little bit more coaxing before I believed that he came back from the dead.
And what would have done it for you?
I don't know. I don't know what would have done it for me, to be honest with you.
That's the thing. Whenever we get into these discussions, you keep, like, and that's what, like, when you end up saying, like, I'm infuriating, it's like, you ask a question, I answer it. And then you ask another question, and I answer it. And you're like, oh. It's like, so you'd be, like, so infuriated with Eric Draven every time he's like, you shoot him in the hand, and it heals. Okay.
But he didn't see that.
No, I know he didn't. But yeah, I'm Hudson saying, like, you'd keep upping the ante, and they'd answer the question, and you'd be like, I still don't believe it.
I feel like it would take quite a bit. I don't really That's know what the saying. Answer is, but like I said, I would think I was crazy more than anything. I was talking to myself. But, you know, kind of all of them, I don't know, again, not to keep harping on it, but they were all pretty quick to believe that this guy just rose from the dead, because the bad guys all kind of went with it too. It was kind of like it wasn't.
Well, yeah, but he was killing them.
They knew that it was like the Crow. Like, I don't know. It was kind of like they weren't that surprised by any of it. And I feel like it would be a little bit of a harder sell in the real world.
Yeah, but see, if you were one of the bad guys, he would have killed you before you figured it out. You would have just been dead.
Probably so.
So,
but who was the main guy? What's the main guy's name? But, you know, like I said, he just had really no problem believing that this guy rose from the dead and was knocking off all of his henchmen.
So you're talking about the main bad guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, his name, Torres, played by Marco Rodriguez.
Oh, is that who you're talking? Okay.
That's who with the long black hair, and his sister was like playing with eyeballs.
He kind of had no problem believing that this dude came back from the dead and was knocking off all his henchmen.
Well, I don't think he believed. I think he was more like you. As the movie was playing out, he didn't understand it. He's like, what's going on here? And he's like, figure this out for me. And that's when he said to Tony Todd, his main henchman, he's like, go find out what's going on. Let me know is this supernatural or whatever, he says. Right. And then it was his sister who you can see that's like, she's into all that.
She's into
mystical
the
stuff. Yeah, right. The occult. And she's like, you got to, you know, and she's like, you got to kill the crow. And it's like,
right.
He's like, all right, I can do that. And whatever. He's all down for that. But he played a good part. He just played a, you know, psycho cokehead.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He always plays the same, you know, kind of always plays the same character in every movie he's been in, too. Big Seinfeld fan, I guess, because, you know, he's wearing the puffy shirt through the whole movie. You notice that? He's like dressed like a pirate in the whole movie.
Puffy,
you know?
I didn't notice the puffy shirt.
He's got like the white shirt with the black vest. He's dressed like a pirate. I don't know. So wherever they're living, I don't know, you know, what the city is, but they got some good fashion going on there.
So before we get to the ending of this, I have a couple things on that. But I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the soundtrack. Because I think the soundtrack to this movie back in 94, you couldn't drive down the street without hearing this soundtrack playing.
Yeah.
In cars. I don't know about you where you were, but it was very popular up here between this one, Burn from The Cure. This basically the soundtrack for the movie. Every time you hear it, all you think of is the movie. I mean, that one has the word crow in it, so how do you not think of the movie when you hear that?
Yeah.
And then the other one was this one, Big Empty by Stone Temple Pilots. This is another staple to the movie. Smoke a cigarette and last no more. These conversations kill, falling faster in my car. That STP is probably my favorite off the soundtrack, but I mean, is this not a staple too? Dead Souls from Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah.
I mean, I keep saying that these are staples, but.
Right.
Geez, here's another one. There was so much good music in there.
Yeah.
That in 94 was just, you listen to it now and it takes you back to 94.
Yeah. I mean, I was here in Texas, so I guess I don't remember it being as prevalent as you do as far as hearing like other people playing it. But like you were still in Franklin, right? At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a smaller town with people you knew a lot.
Yeah.
Like I was in Houston, you know. Yeah. Not a small town. And so, like, I wasn't just out listening to people driving by, you know, it wasn't kind of the same atmosphere. But, you know, obviously all the songs, the individual songs themselves were all popular.
Yeah.
You know, they were always on the radio. I mean, they were always being played. Yeah. It had a great soundtrack. I mean, lots of great songs in this movie. But I don't remember actually owning it as a soundtrack and listening to
it
all together.
I had the CD.
Yeah.
I might add the tape, too.
Back in 94, I had the cassette tape.
Yeah.
You see, boys and girls, in 1994.
I think one of the most popular songs on that album or one from the movie was barely played in the movie. The Stone Temple Pilots, Big Empty.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was in the movie.
It's like in the background in one of the opening scenes. It's like bare. I think it might have been in like the bar, but it's barely there. But it was like
the biggest hit.
Yeah, it was like the biggest hit, and it's like everybody referenced it to the movie. I don't know if it played during a commercial, like maybe one of the trailers of the movie.
Maybe.
I don't remember. I'll have to look that one up. But yeah, let's wrap up with that ending. I thought the ending was really interesting in that he was done. Eric Draven was done. He had completed his mission. He came back, killed everybody that raped and murdered him and his wife, right, or soon-to-be wife, and he was back at the grave. And it was only because of Torres, the guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kill him. But I thought it was funny. It's like he wants to kill him, but he's just going to go die.
Right. He's already dead, and he's basically going away.
He couldn't have left well enough alone. He would have been fine.
Right.
And I thought it was like such a funny twist, because it's like he's at the grave. He's ready to go back to be with Shelley. Everything's over. It's done. And they're like, no, they've got to grab the girl, take the ring. And it's like, it's the typical bad guy thing. Like, you couldn't have left well enough alone. You would have got away with this.
Well, right. But as a moviegoer, would you have been satisfied if that's how it ended?
No.
Because, I mean, this is the bad guy, right?
Right.
You want the good guy to kill the bad guy. So that's kind of what has to happen.
Well, he even says that in the last scene. He goes, look, I'm the one that okayed that. I'm the one that did it. So, you know.
So technically his job wasn't done.
No, but he
but
thought
I guess
it was.
He thought it was.
Yeah.
Right? As far as in his mind, he was finished.
Right.
But yeah, I guess ultimately. But I guess the, like, whatever forces brought him back in the first place would kind of know that he wasn't done, right? Like, even if he thought he was,
well,
his mission wasn't complete until he killed Torres, who was really
And maybe that's why Shelley didn't come and get him.
Right.
At the time.
Right, because she doesn't show up until after that happens. Maybe he was just phoning home, but nobody was picking up.
Nice. You know? E.T. reference.
Yeah. Gay.
Yeah. Always got to go with E.T. there on, you know, the Crow.
In the Crow. It's a Halloween movie, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, maybe he thought he was done, but he wasn't, like, his spirit wasn't being released. Like, he wasn't able to go back because he wasn't quite finished. But yeah, to your point, I guess if Torres just, you know, if he just went to Miami for the weekend or something.
He didn't even have to go anywhere. He
could
have just gone back to his lair or whatever.
Right.
And Eric would have just, you know, I guess, maybe
faded
not.
Faded away.
But, yeah, faded away like he ended up doing. But, you know, then you have the big standoff. And obviously the good guy wins.
Right.
All is right in the world. And he gets to go die peacefully. Which is like, and that's what I mean. It gets into that whole, like, I thought this was such a creative love story, and that it's like, the happy ending is he gets to go back to his grave.
Right. They're dead.
They're dead. And it's like, but you forget all that because you get, by the end of the movie, you're emotionally invested in this and you're like, yay, he gets to go be with her.
Right, yay, he's dead.
What? It's like, and it's like, but if you step back and look at it and go, oh, that was kind of morbid.
Yeah. Well, it's not a happy, right? It's not a happy movie. I guess the happy ending is for Sarah, right? She's the one that gets the happy ending after all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she kind of gets her mom back and she got to say goodbye. Here, you know what I thought was great is she makes the comment to Eric at some point that she never got to say goodbye to him because, you know, he was killed. And then later on in the movie, she says goodbye. And he doesn't say nothing. He just walks away.
Yeah.
It's like, you still didn't say goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, what a jerk.
Well, I think
I guess
that
she's
was the
one
point.
That gets
like,
the happy ending overall, is that, you know, she got to say her goodbyes and she gets her mom back. And so that's kind of where the feel good happens because, right, for Eric, he's just dead still. So.
All right. Is that enough for that happy little love story that we just talked about?
I think so. I don't know what's more depressing, that or Romeo and Juliet.
Well, they were at least alive for a little while.
Yeah, a little bit.
In the story.
They got to, well, yeah. Well, it just depends on where you jump into the story, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well.
So anyway, yeah.
So anyways.
That's good.
No, yeah. So what do we got coming out this week?
We've got, just in time for Halloween, Basket Full of Heads, issue one. That's the Joe Hill, Hill House horror comic.
Oh, okay. Who's that by?
And then, Joe Hill?
No, what book? What, publisher?
Oh, DC. Well, it's, DC Black Label. It's Hill House, which is like an offshoot of Black Label. It's Joe Hill's label.
Okay.
Basically, that he's doing there at, DC.
Cool.
And also, Halloween themed, we've got Deceased issue number 6. Really looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Because there's some cliffhangers from issue 5 that we need to address.
Yep.
We have Excalibur issue number 1.
That should be fun.
Yeah. And Joker Killer Smile issue number 1.
Know anything about that one yet?
Not really. I know it's Black Label also. I don't think it's the Prestige size though, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's regular comic size.
Okay.
Could be wrong though, so don't hold my feet to the fire on Wednesday when you see it's big.
Won't.
Going into next year at least, like DC announced that they now have a name, and it's like the premium prestige format. So their solicits are going to show that, and that's how we're going to know that it's like the oversized books.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that'll take some of the question out of it, because a lot of times we don't know till we see them what sizes are going to be.
I know some people don't like the oversized books, like Dr. Joe says.
Yeah, I really don't either.
Really? I like the artwork, it really shows the presentation. Yeah,
I do like the presentation, but from a storage standpoint, I know your response to Dr. Joe was like, you know, putting them on a bookcase or something like that, but for the comic, for my side of it, it makes it hard to deal with them because they don't fit in my subscription boxes or anything up front. Right. I've had to come up with like a whole new system for them. I'd rather everything just be comic book sized.
No, I get it. It's a little bit less convenient.
It is.
And we know how much you like convenience.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah. When it works for you.
When it's convenient for me, I like it. When it's not convenient for me, I don't like it.
Right.
So.
Oh, God. It's all about you.
It is. In the point I'm trying to make that determines how much I like it.
Yeah, I think we're going to we should have some good Kryptonite Key Talk next week. Hopefully Well, I'm thinking Deceased number 6.
Yes.
That'll be a fun one.
Should be good.
And maybe Watchmen if you catch up on
that. Yeah, well I'm definitely going to watch it tomorrow, so.
Oh, and then there'll be another one on Sunday, so.
Right.
And maybe some Titans, too.
Yeah, maybe so. Who knows?
Maybe we'll lock the door to start the show.
Yeah. The whole show. We'll be locked in through the whole thing.
We're locked in. Locked and loaded. All right. That's good. Actually, I was going to say have a great Halloween, but we'll be back on Halloween Day.
Yep, we'll be back.
Nice. Ooh, I got to come up with a good open for you for Halloween.
You're going to have to.
I
can't wait.
Hopefully it's better than this one.
The pressure's on.
All right. You can reach us at brightside_chat on Twitter. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Please go to the Nerdy Legion. Subscribe at the Nerdy Legion. You'll get everybody. A lot of new stuff coming out, including myself. Brightside Home Theater. Thought that was a creative name.
Nobody's used that yet. Nobody's using that one. TM, the Bright Side Chat.
Please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. And oh, wait. Yep. You could win a poster. If you can screen grab it and tweet it to us, first 5 people, we will send you a poster. Anything else, John?
No. I think that's good.
You good?
I'm good.
All right. Let's get out of here. Lock up the store.
Take care, everyone.
See you on Thursday.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina,
You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com, Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com, Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com, Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.